This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host. And today we have a super fun episode. I did a little Q&A with one of my friends, Nestle Mitchell from the Not My Problem podcast. And we talked a lot about dating and career. And it was honestly so fun. It's a little bit all over the place. You'll definitely notice when my ADHD is kicking in. But nevertheless, I think, you know, we give some good advice. Honestly, it's mostly Nestle that's giving the good advice. I'm just taking notes. As we all know, I'm not very good at this whole dating thing. And she really just kind of gives me the pep talk that I need. She tells me how to avoid all of the trash men in this world because, let's get real, there's a lot of them. And like one of my friends, Vanessa, from the On the Rocks podcast, said that we're going to avoid men in 2020. Like I said, I had so much fun recording this episode with Nestle. She's honestly so amazing. You should all go follow her and listen to her podcast that she has, and I'll link that all in the show notes below. But Nestle is one of those people who keeps it super real. She's super raw and she's really authentic. And honestly, she tells it like it is, which I think in this world nowadays, we need more people like that. And she's one of those people that I've met through podcasting that I'm just so grateful to have met her. So before we get into the podcast, I figured, you know, as usual, we'll do a little life update. It has been my first full week of work in the books, done and dusted, and damn, I am tired. I wake up at 6 a.m. and I have 13-hour days, no joke. I leave the house at 7 and I don't get home until 8 p.m. at night. I mean, that is because I do go to the gym after work, but nevertheless, I do have really long hours, but you know what? It's good. I mean, I spend my days talking to people on the phone because, you know, that is my job as a recruiter. I do love talking, so thank God I am very extroverted and this is the job for me. But yeah, we shall see how this corporate life goes. You know, it's not forever, but you know what? I think it provides the good, necessary experience that, you know, your girl needs in order to get where she wants to go. I've also spent a lot of my time surfing and just going to the beach. Summers in San Diego here are absolutely beautiful. It's been 80 degrees and super hot. You don't even need a wetsuit when you're surfing. I suck, but it's okay. And honestly, I'm just getting that nice summer glow. I'm just living up my weekends because now I kind of live for my weekends, unfortunately. That's okay. I'm getting in the swing with this whole work thing. And yeah, that's basically my mini life update. Nothing too dramatic, but other than that, enough of me rambling and let's get into the podcast.
Hello, Nestle. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm so excited, you know, just to ask you a few questions. We're going to do a little Q&A today, and I want to get to know all of your deepest, darkest secrets.
Oof, I'm so excited that you asked me to come on the podcast. My deepest, darkest secrets? Ooh, we're going to have a spicy time today.
Yeah. Well, basically, we're going to, you know, we have to, I guess, what's the word? We have to kind of dip our toes in the water first and then just kind of like then plunge in. That's how you do it, apparently. It's just like dating. It's kind of like our first date.
Right. Those don't go well for me. So we'll see how this goes.
Honestly, those haven't gone well for me recently either. Honestly, what am I saying? I have never been in a long-term relationship, really. So those definitely haven't been going well for me.
Wow, Sarah, we're the same because me too. Actually same.
Yes, we're on the same wavelength. I love it. I'm here for it. So earlier this week, you know, I went on Instagram story, asked a few questions, and everyone kind of came back with the hard-hitting questions, some not so much like hard hitting, but I think those are the ones we're going to kind of start with. Just, you know, as I said, to get our toes in the water, you know, get acquainted, all of that stuff. So I think the first question is, what is your go-to drink?
Okay, are we talking alcoholic, non-alcoholic, coffee?
Anything. I think anything goes. They were very vague, and I figured I might as well just kind of go with it.
Okay, we're going to do alcoholic and coffee because that's just like my vibe. So my alcoholic drink of choice is, of course, a White Claw. If we're at home chilling, that's what I'm drinking. I go through several a day. I have counted the amount of variety packs that I have purchased during quarantine. We're in the 50s. I call that a great time. So we're living our lives. It's great. And then my coffee order is an iced blonde vanilla latte. It's staple. Can't go wrong. I had that today, actually, 3 times.
That's actually mine, too, the iced blonde vanilla latte.
We're there. We're the same.
I love it. No, that is my one. Well, I have many coffee orders. I also do like cappuccinos just because I'm a big advocate for the foam. I love the foam. Is that
hot take? I'm not into the foam. I'm also not that much of a hot coffee drinker. So if I'm going to drink a hot coffee, it's just going to be like a coffee. But the foam, I don't know. It's a texture thing. I can't do it.
Really? No, my best friend and roommate, she has a foamer, and I honestly use it all the time. I sometimes think I'm like, I kind of want to steal it, but I know it was a lot of money. So she's gracious enough for me to kind of like use it, but I will just drink foamed milk all of the time. I feel like that's really weird.
That is very strange. That sounds like something like my grandma would do. So I support you, but it's also like kind of strange.
I'm like your grandma. It's perfect. Exactly. I think you and your grandma and I would get along fine. That's one of my favorite things to do. Foamed milk, I guess, is also in that category of favorite go-to drinks. Also, I really like hard kombucha. I think that's more of a San Diego thing. Do you know what that is?
I've recently discovered it. I have a very staunch opinion against kombucha. It tastes disgusting.
It's all the probiotics or whatever they say is healthy for your gut.
And that's the only reason why I tried it, because I had like an infection and I was taking antibiotics, and they were saying you need to take probiotics, drink kombucha. I'm like, okay, great. Let me get some kombucha. I bought like 8 because I'm like, ooh, look at all these flavors. Ooh, snatch these flavors up. And then one sip and I was like, I have to throw these away. I threw them all away.
Well, you know, I mean, that's my go-to drink for some reason. And also, I realized as we were talking, I didn't have you introduce yourself.
I did realize that.
I realized that as we were talking. Sometimes, you know, I get really excited and my ADHD just really kicks in. And it takes away. So we totally forgot to introduce you. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you're all about, what you like to do, the whole 9 yards.
Ooh, that's a great time. Okay, everyone, my name is Nestle. I'm the host of the Not My Problem podcast, which is just me talking shit about my life for an hour every week. I am 24. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I work in corporate America. I live in the corporate dream. And, you know, it's kind of exhausting sometimes. So I use my podcast as an opportunity to like talk about my life and talk about the quarantine, the dating, the not so much dating, because it's hard out here and everything in between. So it's been a fun time. And I've been podcasting for, I think, 3 months now. And yeah, that's about me.
No, I think you've been really successful within these past 3 months. I didn't even know it was only that short amount of time.
I didn't realize either. It feels like, well, also like this quarantine season has felt like I've been at home for a whole year. So it's just gone by so fast. I feel like I've aged like 3 years.
I know. I think we definitely, I mean, all of my friends are saying this, but like I'm also 23 and like all my friends are too. And I think we kind of got some of our young 20s, you know, taken away from us, which is unfortunate.
It's completely unfortunate. And I'm 24. This is supposed to be my Kobe year, RIP Kobe. And I'm just like not living the Kobe dream that he would want for me. So I was telling a fellow podcaster earlier today that I'm going to next year is also 2020, and next year will also be my Jordan year, and we're just gonna redo it. I don't even care.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is the trial run, and it went terribly wrong, and so now we kind of know what we need to fix, which is we need to make sure we have no diseases. We need a lot of reform. It was the year that we got woke. That's right. This year. I don't know.
It's a trial run. We're hoping for the best. We'll try again next year.
We'll try again next year. And I think next year is the year. But as I was originally saying with the questions, what is your favorite go-to drink? Would it be tequila or vodka?
That's a great question. Okay. So if I am making, if it's strictly cocktails, I would say more than likely a vodka girl. But I am also, if I won't ever take a shot unless it's a tequila shot. I want my salt and my lime. That's the only way I'm taking a shot. It's tequila, salt, and lime.
Oh,
and
thank
that's
God
it.
That.
I can do margs, but like I don't think margs are like something that you can. I can't do a full night of margs. It's just too much.
No,
it's too heavy.
No.
But I can
that's
do like
called Hangover Central.
I don't get those. I've been blessed.
Okay, honestly, I don't really get those either. But like from what I hear.
Word on the street is you get them, but I can't relate.
I know. I think I've gotten about four in my lifetime, to be honest.
Oh, I've gotten the one that I can distinctly remember. It was my freshman year, my birthday, so I guess I turned 19 that year. Too many shots of Fireball. Fireball ruined my life. And that's the only time I've ever had a hangover.
Yeah. No, I've actually never taken Fireball just because I've heard scary stories. But I remember when I was friends with, you know, you initially when you go to college, you usually make friends with some rowdy men. And those rowdy men always loved Four Locos. So I always steered clear of Four Locos and then Fireball because they also loved that. And Jaeger. Ooh,
Jaeger?
I know.
What kind of men were you hanging out with? This is not okay.
God. You know what? Nestle, we need a long talk about what kind of men I usually hang out with because I'm really trying to change that direction.
We'll work on that. We'll work on it.
We're working on that. That's on my list of things to do for 2020. Work on who I am attracted to and what kind of people I attract.
That's fair. We should all work on that since we all have the downtime. We might as well just figure that out and then like start over.
Oh, no, exactly. But speaking of dating, what is the worst date you've ever been on?
That was the worst? Wow. Okay. So I will preface this by saying that I use the apps a lot and I've dealt with a lot of craziness, but I usually cancel them before we even get to a date. And that's where all my crazy stories come from.
I love
but
that.
Yeah. Because like, well, also they turn out to be like insane before I even like get to the date. So, I mean, like that's nice.
You get to know them a decent amount of time before you go on the date, or because usually what I do is I'll just say, hey, what do you do for work? You seem normal. Let's go on a date. And then we'll go on a date.
So I like the plan a date within a week of the matching because you don't want to go through these weeks and then you get to know them over text and then they turn out to be like somebody else when you meet them. But then it'll always be the instances where like you just got to the stage where you give them your number and you're like, okay, this is going somewhere. And then they just like start to like act up. Like one guy, he told me he was a sociopath. The other guy told me.
He told you he was a sociopath?
I mean, very casually. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He told me that he was going to therapy. And I'm like, ooh, great. Men going to therapy? Whew. I loved it. And
yeah,
then
I would like it too. But then when you unveil that secret, that's like a no-go.
Yeah. So he unveiled that he had sociopathic tendencies. And I said, oh, great.
End of discussion.
Right. And so we haven't spoken since. So that's that. But the worst date that I've probably been on was this guy. It was like a fine date. Like he didn't do any. Actually, I lied. He did do something crazy. But other than this one instance, which just happened to be super extreme to the point where I threw a drink on him.
Oh, my God.
It was fine.
Do tell.
So it was a conversation. I don't know how the topic came up, but we were talking about the Me Too movement. And then he said something along the lines of like, oh, girls shouldn't do this, or girls are asking for it when they do this. And I said, oh, absolutely not, sir. Not in this economy. So then I like went off on him. And then he said, He was like, you just don't understand. And then I was like, yeah, I don't understand. Threw my drink on him and then walked away. Deuces.
I love that. I've literally always wanted to throw a drink on someone.
Me too. I felt very empowered when I finally got the opportunity. I like had to take the chance.
And I'm assuming it was like in a public setting, right?
Oh, yeah. I got a standing ovation from the couple next to me.
You did? They probably heard your conversation.
They did. The girl, because she like followed, because I went to the bathroom first to like collect my thoughts and then peace out. And then the girl came in the bathroom with me and she said that she heard it like derailing. And then she's like, I needed to come into the bathroom and tell you that you're a bad bitch. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. I love her. She was like your little angel that day.
I know. She's a fan. I love her. I follow her on Instagram, actually. She's really great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I wish people would kind of hear or like be there while I'm on a date with someone, because usually I don't know why, but it's either a out and about and it's like a really, really loud place where I'm on a date, like at a bar or something. But
ooh, don't do the bar dates. It's not. No.
Yeah, I shouldn't do that. Well, I've done a few bar dates, but I've done a few also just like they make me dinner and all that stuff. I've gone on many bad dates. One was one time with he was potentially he told me that he was a gay stripper. So I was just a little confused about his sexuality. Not that I would be like, you know, I was just like, are you really into me or are you gay or are you discovering your sexuality still? I was like, that's fine if you are, but I just would like to know.
Yeah, that's an interesting time.
Yeah. So I don't know that there was that one. There was also a guy who I talked about this on one of my podcasts. I think I released an episode about like my worst date experience. And he told me that he was interested in polygamy. He thought polygamy was natural.
Is polygamy like dating a bunch of people? Is that
no,
what that
like
is again?
Being like being married and then in an open relationship?
Oh, I mean, that's not my tea, but like
yeah, no, that's not my tea either. Like if you want to do it, all like you can do it. I'm not going to judge anyone, but also it's just like he sounded like he was interested in it, and I knew that he had cheated on a girlfriend in the past because I knew him previously. So I was like you know, fire signals were going off in my head. And I was like, this is
my question is, why did you go on a date with a man that you knew cheated?
I know that is also an issue, because this is a really bad thing that this is what I'm trying to work on, Nestle. well, sometimes, you know, in college, might as well. And then it still went terribly wrong.
Okay. So you gave it a shot and it went horribly. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
It does happen to the best of us. But I think my most recent one was I did a Zoom date with a guy who I went to college with, but he's 2 years older than me. And, you know, he seemed normal. You know, we matched, texted. He had been trying to, like, take me out on a couple dates for a while, but I was just like, no, no, no. But finally we matched. So I was like, why not? And then he shows up a half an hour late to a Zoom date. Like, first of all, what are your thoughts on that? Am I being crazy for being like, you were half an hour late to my Zoom date?
So being late to anything is a deal breaker for me. I'm the early person. I hate when people are late. And being late to a Zoom date is honestly just even more offensive because, like, where are you? What are
exactly.
you doing?
That's what, okay, perfect. I'm glad we're on the same page because honestly, I was like, dude, what are you doing with your time? It's a Saturday at 6 p.m. And this was like in March when shit was really hitting the fan or like March or April or something. And I'm like, this is when we all really have nothing to do. So what are you doing? So that was strike number one. So he finally comes on and then he is number one shirtless. And then all of his friends are in the background like playing like beer pong or whatever. And then he's just lying on his couch and he's like, oh, hey. And then the first words out of his mouth, he takes a sip of his White Claw, of course. And then he says,
very on brand.
Very on brand. He was like, that was my 13th one of the day. And I was like, so you're like pretty fucked up right now. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. But I'm like, okay. I just didn't know what to do in that moment. Some of my friends were like, I would have just completely, you know, been like, bye. But I was like, no, this could be interesting. Let me see. But then, of course, then he starts bringing up like my exes because he knows them because we all went to college together.
And, oh, this sounds problematic. There's a lot of things that are going wrong.
Yeah. And I literally just, I honestly cried after that date because I was just so frustrated with men.
That's terrible. I have a lot of thoughts. Okay. My first one is I commend you for even going on a Zoom date because that's just, I can't get myself to do it.
I've been on two so far.
And how are they?
They're not. The first one, the guy was super nice. Like, I don't know if we'll ever actually meet up in person. I haven't talked to him in literally, like, it seems like decades now because that happened in March. But he was nice. It was like, whatever.
Okay.
But then the second one went terribly wrong.
And it's kind of just like ruined it for you. Like, I wouldn't go on another Zoom date.
Yeah. And then after that, I have deleted like my actual accounts on all dating apps. And I have made the commitment to actually not date for the next year. Well, till 2020 ends. Because for me, it's like pointless. Like, how the only way I'm really going to meet a guy is through a dating app, I feel, at this point in life. You know, unless it's like meet him at the grocery store. But
I feel like it's dating, like in 2020, it's either dating app or like a friend of a friend of a friend, which is the ideal. But all of my friends of friends are either taken or they're like people I wouldn't date. So,
yeah, exactly. Okay, next question. Let's stay on the dating track and then we'll kind of switch gears after that. But what's your biggest turnoff? I know you mentioned that timeliness is a big thing for you. What else is?
Oh man, androids, that's a turnoff. I can't do that. I know it's super super superficial, but like those green texts just bother me.
Okay, well then I have this question because I actually already knew that because I listened to a podcast one time with Lauren Lapid, and yes, you also mentioned that was a turnoff and a red flag. And yes, so this is my question that I had while I was listening to your other podcast. What if, say, all of my bosses I know have androids? Is this a red flag that I shouldn't be working with them? Or is this just like an inconvenience?
Interesting that you say that because I think for me, that's been the case as well. They've all been androids. I mean, it's just like an inconvenience, but like whatever.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know because my dad has an Android too. And he like, you know, he's like he's in business. And so right. I was like, does that make him like a an interesting man? You know, like I don't know. He did have a BlackBerry for the longest time until 5 years ago. No joke.
Oh, that's obnoxious. My only thing with Android people is like depending on who you talk to, 9 times out of 10, if they have an Android, they go on this like sidebar about why Android's superior, and then they go on this whole spiel talking about Apple and like why they hate Apple and they don't respect iPhones, they think they're overpriced, blah blah blah. So I think it's like this superiority complex that comes with Androids, and I'm not into it. If that's me projecting a lot of thoughts onto these men, but whatever.
No. I mean, I completely agree because I think what it says to me, and I hope to all of my users or users, to all of my listeners who are Android users, I'm not judging you. Please keep listening to this podcast. But what I have to say is I feel like you are deep down very stubborn, you know? Like, they don't want to succumb to the societal pressure of using an iPhone. And therefore, I commend you at one point on one end of the spectrum. But then also, I'm like, you are very stubborn. What is wrong with you?
Right. You know? There's like no reason in this day and age for anybody to be that glued to wanting an Android. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It does not make sense to me. But switching gears, it reminded me, you mentioned while you were saying how a lot of men kind of harp on the reason why they have an Android. I had this vivid memory of being in my public speech class that I took in sophomore year. And this boy who was an engineer, he gave a whole presentation about – he was actually super, super cute, not going to lie.
I love a good engineer. You're speaking to my soul right now.
I know. No. He was an engineer and he was super cute. So like low-key, I was like kind of convinced, but not – I'm still like iPhones all the way. But I don't know how that got me to this question that I'm about to ask you, but where do you see yourself career-wise? Like, where do you see your career going? Because I know currently you are a data analyst, but is that what you're going after for the long haul?
For the long haul, yeah. I would say for maybe like the next 10 years, my goal is to work in analytics and maybe shift a little bit more to the business side and telling them about analytics and using the analytics to make business decisions, which is kind of what I do now, but I definitely do a little bit more of the analytics and less of the talking to people, because like my people skills, we're in the works. We're trying. But I can talk.
We're having this great conversation right now.
Exactly. But I talk better than the guys that are on my team. So I'm like the chosen one to talk to people. So I want to do that for a couple years. And my goal is to work in like a giant tech company, be a director, VP, C-suite executive is honestly my true goal. Give me like 8 years. I think I can do it. But I want to work. Thank you. I want to work in Seattle. I love Seattle, at a big tech company, Amazon, Starbucks, Microsoft, any of those. That's my goal.
That's amazing. I mean, no, I can definitely see you as that. And I mean, what did you study in college? Like, did you ever see yourself doing that?
Absolutely not. So this is one of the cases where I studied psychology in undergrad because I switched from nursing.
Oh, yeah, that's
because
exactly the opposite.
I took one anatomy class and I was like, yeah, this is not it for me. So I switched to psychology and I still really like it. I wanted to do more clinical psychology. And I wanted to be a professor at one point. And that's still one of the things that I think if I were to ever leave corporate America, I would teach in a university setting. I think that I wouldn't really enjoy that. But when I graduated college, I was kind of just like trying to get a job, because a psychology degree is not that marketable. So I got an internship at the company I work now in HR, because that's what most people in psychology usually end up in, HR. And then after that internship ended, I knew the manager that I work for now, and that's kind of how I slid into this role.
That's so interesting too, because I'm actually doing HR now for my job because I'm doing recruiting, but I feel like HR, like no matter what you studied, you can do HR. If you can talk to people, I feel like you can do HR.
Yes, it's very, very easy to do. I actually, when I was doing HR, I was doing like the university relations recruiting. So I actually did recruiting for a little bit.
Oh, really? Okay. I feel like you were good at that. It's like convincing people, correct? Is that not right?
It's basically a glorified salesman. That's
oh, great. I'm excited. Okay. Nordstrom's had this great sale. It was 75% off. And I went and I bought a bunch of badass bitch outfits that I thought would like, yeah, I honestly just went for the pants that would make my ass look like really nice.
Oh, we love that for you.
Honestly, that's the only reason why I'm excited to start work. Not only the money, obviously, a given, but for the outfits. But kind of going off of what we were saying about like career-wise, someone asked me in the Instagram story that I posted, they said, what is one thing that you want, but you tell yourself that it's too big of a goal and you set aside for air quotes later?
I would say moving to Seattle. Because my rationale is Seattle's expensive. I would want to be able to live the lifestyle that I have here, there, and I need more money to do that. So I always tell myself in like 1 year, 2 years, I'll do it. And then like something happens and like quarantine and I'm like, okay, maybe I have to push it back a year. But if there's like rhyme and reason to why I would want to wait. But at the same time, it is one of those things where I feel to some degree I am making excuses when I just need to like pull the trigger. But that's like a big trigger. I'm in Georgia and then moving to like Seattle is a lot. But that's like the thing.
Georgia and Seattle are kind of like a night and day difference.
Right. But I love it. Mainly because of the weather. I'm
find not
like
with
random...
you on that one.
No. Okay. Hear me out. So I will always find reasons like that would solidify why I love Seattle. And then recently it's getting really hot in Georgia, and Georgia is like a humid state. So it'll be around 80 degrees, but it'll feel like 90 something, super humid and nasty and gross. So I was like, okay, I wonder like what the weather in Seattle is like. High 60s, low 70s, no rain. I'm like, oh yes, please sign me up. Get me out of here. I can take the rain because I went for my birthday in January, which is like the rainiest like
Season,
stretch that they
right?
usually have. And it was fine. Like it was a little bit chilly, but I'm growing, I grew up in New York, so I'm used to the cold. That wasn't bothering
Where
me.
in New York did you grow up?
New York City, I grew up in Harlem. And then I moved in middle school, I moved to Georgia. So I spent a good amount of time there. But in Seattle, like it's just like sprinkle rain to the point where you wouldn't use an umbrella. It's just a constant sprinkle. And I can deal with that. Just get some waterproof mask makeup, some setting spray. That's all I need.
I mean, honestly, that's really all you need. Also, I feel like makeup-wise, if you live in also a hot climate, like where you're sweating a lot, you also just need the same kind of makeup that you would use in a rainy climate. Because you know what? Regardless, you're just having water on your face. It might
Right.
suck. The water might come from the rain, or it might come from your sweat. Even though sweat, I am very well aware it's not water, but still, for
It's the same. Yeah.
simplicity's sake, that's how I'm describing it.
And it's frustrating because I love makeup. It stemmed from YouTube, and YouTube has made me spend a lot of money. Like if I were to count the products I have, and I don't have that many products. Like not anywhere near some of the makeup collections I've seen, but it's all high end, like everything. So I did like a mental like quote of how much I think I have in my little like 13 foot long, not foot long, 13. Why are words hard? 13 inches long makeup thing, and it's like 2 grand in that little box. It's bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, if I put my closet together with all of the clothes that I've honestly worn only a few times, I'm really ashamed of what I, how much money I've spent. But like, I'm totally with you on also just kind of wanting to make enough money to move somewhere else to live a lifestyle that you can, sustain. Because theoretically, I currently live in San Diego and I'm debating on where I want to live. I told you, I mentioned this before, I think, that I was like, maybe I want to move to Nashville, but I'm also like, maybe I want to move to New York City. But I'm not sh yeah, I know you moved away. Could you ever move
I don't
back?
know. I would need, I think New York is a great place to live. I highly recommend it. Knowing me, I cannot live in a little shoebox. I don't care if I'm already out and about all the time and I'm rarely home. I want floor to ceiling windows, open floor plan, all white furniture. Do you know how much that would cost
That's
in
where,
New York
yeah, that's
City?
what you're describing, honestly, my dream like apartment, but I don't think I'm gonna get that.
Exactly. Like, and I'm like, okay, I need to marry rich. Like, that's
I
the answer.
know. I know. See, this is the issue I have too with life because I was like, yes, I want to be not like if my husband makes millions, I'm not gonna complain. But at the end of the day, I'm totally fine with being the breadwinner. And
Me
kind of
too.
like hustling, and I don't want to date guys who, just sit on their ass, obviously, because you need to have some drive. But also, I don't mind kind of, bringing in the dough. But with all of that, I'm still aware that I have expensive taste, and that's why I'm like, okay, well, maybe I just need to kind of stay put here in San Diego for a little bit, and then eventually. Once I like my paycheck, I'm looking at the big bucks. I don't know when that will be, but I can be like, okay, now I can kind of move anywhere I want.
Right, and they'll more than likely give you more money than what you're making in San Diego because cost of living, it would adjust, so you'd get paid more. Even though in theory it would end up evening out because cost of living, but still.
I know. No, I hate being an adult sometimes, but it is what it is. It's the big exciting issues that we face. But kind of going off of that, what do you think is one of the most important issues facing young women today? I thought that was actually a really good question that I got.
I think, ooh, this is oof. Oh, I love this question. Okay. So, one, I think it's imposter syndrome, especially being someone who like works in corporate America or anything like that, where it's a male-dominated field, feeling as though you aren't doing enough or you're not as qualified as your male counterparts, that's something that I felt that I experienced a lot because everybody else had like a computer science degree and like a math degree from like one of the bigger tech schools in my state. And navigating through that, that's the number one one. The second one is the societal pressures that they put on women to me being a 24-year-old Nestle, like, why aren't you married? Are you, where's your boyfriend? I'm like, hello? Are you going to ask me about my career goals, my aspirations in life? And those are like the things that like really grind my gears. And I feel like it's super common, especially in the South, more specifically, but I think it's an issue that, most women have experienced as like a younger person in their 20s. Like, I don't want to be a housewife, and that's okay. Let me live my life.
Same. No, I mean, I'm glad that you said imposter syndrome because honestly, I wouldn't have thought of that immediately. And I would agree. I think also just like social media perpetuates that, obviously, when you're looking at like thousands of and thousands of pictures of, just like people's lives that are curated. And like they say, it's like the highlight reel of everyone's life. And honestly,
Exactly.
like my social media, I wouldn't even say it's the highlight reel because my highlights in life, they're just so much better than my Instagram highlight reel.
Right. I feel like my Instagram highlight reel doesn't reflect my quote unquote highlight reel that I live day to day because I don't take pictures that often. And two, it's just like so much effort to like get a cute curated picture that matches the feed. And like I just don't care enough, so I just don't even post. And that's just what my thing has been as of lately. I just gave up. You have enough pictures of me to know what I look like if you were to stalk me on Instagram, and that's all you need.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, I just personally, especially nowadays with quarantine, I don't want to have to put on a bunch of makeup. And honestly, my skin is looking so much better because I haven't been putting on like much makeup and I've gotten so much less sits, which I love.
Oh, I
I'm
love
trying to
that
get
for
into
you.
skincare. I know.
Do
I
the
know. I'm really
skincare.
happy.
I tried dermaplaning. Do you know what that is?
No. Yeah, what so what is your skincare routine? We're just going off topic. So many tangents.
So my skincare routine is I use Dermalogica because I just have a hard time finding products that work for me. Dermalogica has worked for me, so I do the cleanser. I do a toner because I have hyperpigmentation, so I try to even out my skin tone as much as possible. But like, as a black woman, your skin tone is normally just not even across the board, and it's fine. But then I have like some scarring that I try to lighten up, so I use a couple of products to lighten up the scarring. And then I tried dermaplaning, which is basically like shaving your face. So I got this like face oil, a hemp face oil, which I also thought was interesting because I'm like not a
Interesting.
smoker. So I was like,
Okay.
will I get
Neither am I,
high?
really. Yeah.
I was like, will I get high? And I didn't get high, but I was just like shaving my face. And it was kind of disgusting to see how much hair actually was like on my face, like aside from like my little 5 o'clock shadow that kind of grows. Sometimes I was like, oh no. But I put makeup on like the next day and it applied so much nicer. It was great. I was like, oof, girl, you look good. So that was it. That's my skincare routine.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, yours is so much more extensive than mine. Honestly, for the longest time until these past 2 months, I have just been moisturizing and put sunscreen on every day, but other than that, I don't really do anything. And what I now started to do, there's this great brand called The Ordinary. I 10 out of 10 recommend, but of course, I found it on YouTube, as
Of
one does
course.
nowadays. But his name is Hiram. He is this fabulous gay man who lives in, I think, Hawaii, but he's originally from Arizona. So I feel like I have like some connection with him because I am also from Arizona. And he just kind of really gives you, he knows what's up, honestly. And this serum I got, it was $7 from Ulta.
Oh,
Seven.
wow.
And it's
Wow.
high quality. And so I just use that now, and then I just use moisturizers. And then I got a jade roller too, because apparently that pushes away the toxins. And I don't
Ooh.
know. And I'm gonna quote him. He said that the Asian people use it, and he's like, Asians have nice skin, which they do.
They do have nice skin.
They have like beautiful
And
skin.
as long as the Jade Roller also pushes away the toxic men, like I'm into it. It probably doesn't. That's probably not in it, not in its benefits. But I'm just gonna tell myself that, and I'm probably gonna buy one now. So thank you, Sarah. I say rolling away the toxic men, but I do have a very good knack of I have like I'm like the queen of like fuck that guy, and I cancel them very easily. If
I need to
one,
take a lesson from you.
you do like. I don't have time. If you're already fucking up towards the beginning, it's just going to go downhill. And I'm just like, no, goodbye. Thank you, next, as Ariana Grande taught us.
Okay, honestly, Ariana Grande, this is just like a tip that I'm gonna add for any girl who has issues, just whether it be kind of like going through a breakup or really just building confidence, just self-confidence in terms of being a single woman nowadays. Listen to Ariana Grande. She's a badass and I fucking love her.
I love Ariana Grande.
I fucking love her. As like an ending question, I would say to this Q&A, this is kind of deep,
Okay.
but what do you think your purpose on earth is?
To be a bad bitch.
I
I will
love
think of
that.
an I will think of an I can unpack that, but that's
No, please do unpack that because that was actually a question that someone asked me too. I just actually realized I didn't include it, but someone asked, how does one be a bad bitch?
I think that my bad bitch mentality really like came like the past 2 years. I graduated college and I felt like I was in this routine, and then you got to graduate college and then you're like, what the fuck do I do with my life? And so I had like this moment where I'm like, okay, Nestle, like these are all the things that like I love about myself, and I'm a catch in all aspects in life. Like I'm a great friend. I am funny. I can hang out with myself. I think I'm great. And on dates, like when I go on dates, you're here to impress me. I'm the catch here. And it's all about self. Like, I affirm myself all the time. I think that's what really helped me. And I
Are
just
you
don't
really big
let.
into like daily affirmations and stuff like that?
No, which is strange. Like, I think I guess I don't think I ever remember a time where I specifically went through daily affirmations, but there was just a moment where I said, Nestle, this is who you are now. You're Beyonce, and you are gonna hone in on Beyonce energy, and there's no turning back. And I've just been consistent in that, and it's worked like a charm. I think the affirmation also comes with me helping other people encourage them to be bad bitches, because then I'm like, Nestle, if you're telling other people to be a bad bitch, you gotta maintain your bad bitch energy. And I think that's the
It keeps you
affirmation.
accountable, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, perfect. I think that's a great place to end off. Honestly, if I were to say my purpose in life, that I would just reiterate everything that you just said. So there's really no need for me to just butcher what you said because you said it perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll write a book. I need to write a book.
You do need to write a book. That's also on my agenda. So one day, one day.
Ooh, love that.
But so where can people find you on all of the social medias?
All of the socials, if people want to follow my personal Instagram, that is lackluster at the moment. It's Nestle.mitchell. My Instagram, my podcast Instagram, it's Not My Problem Pod. I've finally gotten the routine of posting again, so you can catch me out on there. Listen to my podcast. It's a great time. We talk about all things, everything, nothing's off the table there. And yeah, that's where you guys can find me. Feel free to interact with me. Send me a DM. Let's be friends. I'll tell you that your men's are trash. Have no problem doing so. I'll motivate you to find better men. I'll do all the things for you. You're welcome.
Honestly, I think everyone should be friends with Nestle because this is the kind of energy that everyone needs in their life. And if you choose to not have that energy, we don't need to have you in our life. That's all I have to say about
Exactly.
that.
And
That
that's
was a
that.
little savage. Yeah, that was that, but it was a little savage of me to say, but it was the truth. So I'm just telling you straight up. But anyways, I was so happy to have you on and thank you again for, just chatting with me.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun, and I can't wait to hear this episode.
So that's the end of the podcast for today. I hope you guys liked it. Like I mentioned, as always, please subscribe and follow me on all of the social medias, and also follow Nestle, and I'll have all of those links down in the show notes below. Also, I'm doing a giveaway this month. You should all enter. It's very easy, very simple. All you gotta do is like and subscribe and tag a friend that you like and want to show some love to. I hope you all have a beautiful, beautiful week. Remember, do something that makes you smile, drink some wine, have some good food, and I don't know, socialize, get out there. Social distance, wear your mask. I don't know, be a good human. That's really all I gotta say. But other than that, have a beautiful week, and I love you all.